Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
The Silver Shadow by Liz Tolsma. Denver of 1900 is still a dangerous place to be following the silver crash of 1893. And out of the dark comes a shadow intent on harming women. Ambitious young Denver newspaper reporter Polly Blythe is searching for the big story that's going to launch her career. On Friday evening, August 24th, 1900, she gets her break when two women are cracked over the head within a two-minute walk of each other. But policeman Edwin Timmer thwarts Polly's ideas of a serial criminal until the shadowy figure strikes again. Will the reporter and the policeman team up to find the culprit before he strikes too close for comfort?
Hi, and welcome to this episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hammerker, and I'm glad you joined me. Today, my guest is Liz Tolsma. She's the author of several World War II novels, romantic suspense novels, prairie romance novellas, and an Amish romance. I think she gets around in the writing world. So welcome to my show, Liz.
Thank you so much for having me, Sarah. I'm so pleased to be here today.
So, my show is about romantic suspense, and we'll get to that. But I'm just curious, how do you juggle writing so many different genres? Is it hard? Is it easy? Or what? You tell me.
Well, I think I've always sort of leaned toward the suspenseful side. Even in my romantic novellas, they were always had this thread of suspense through them. So I kind of had that flair for the suspenseful from the very beginning. And with my World War II novels, of course, that's very easy to write suspense into them. So it was a natural fit for me then to start writing romantic suspense.
Now, are your romantic suspense novels, are they set in contemporary times or are they mostly historical? I know The Silver Shadow, which we have an excerpt from following our interview, is a historical setting. So are most of yours historical, or do you write contemporary as well?
I write strictly historical. I'm going to be trying a split fiction for my next book, but that will be the first time I'll write really any other than Amish, and I'm not sure that really counts.
So, yeah, probably not. Yeah,
probably not. So I just love history. I've always loved history and had a fascination for it. In fact, we're cleaning out my parents' house. They've lived here for 46 years. My dad has given me all the genealogy stuff that he's accumulated about our family. My mom just pulled out of the drawer my grandfather's hairbrush set and the brush that he used to brush his suits off and everything. I'm like, no, you can't throw that away. I'll take it. So is my thing. I love it, and I just love delving into it. I love writing about different times. I'm a history nerd. I don't hesitate to confess that at all.
So are most of your books set in the 20th century, the 18th century? What's your favorite century to write about, if you have one?
Yeah, that's a hard question. I think most of the historicals I have written, the full-length novels, are in the 20th century because I have so many World War II. And The Pink Bonnet, which is another one of my romantic suspenses, that was 20th century, as was The Gold Digger. So those were all 20th century, early 20th century. So I would have to say I like to stay in the 20th century if I possibly can, but keep it nice and early in the 20th century, pre-World War II or earlier.
Right, yeah. There seems to be a lot of interest in that time period, just in books in general, and I guess with the 100th anniversary of World War I, getting ahead of myself, happening a few years ago. Have you found that there's been just more interest, more books written history and not in fiction as well in that time period?
I would definitely say that when I first got into this business 20 years ago, historical meant 19th century. It was the Prairie Romance, so it had to be post-Civil War up to 1900, and you didn't really see too much written after 1900, where I think it has shifted a lot. You can still find those Civil War novels and Prairie Romance novels, but so much of it is World War One, World War Two. Even before that, early 20th century. So it has swung a little bit more. And I think you were right, with the 100th anniversary of World War One not that long ago, that really piqued interest in that time period, that Edwardian time period. Downton Abbey did the same thing for that time period as well. It got a lot of people interested in the early 1900s.
Yeah, and it's modern, but it's not, right? I think that's kind of how I read some in that genre, historical time period, even before it was popular, I like to say. I think some of the appeal is because, I mean, like, it does. I mean, we can recognize a lot of the modern thing. You know, they had telephones. They, you know, there were trains. There were buses. There were cars. You know, I think some of it is very familiar to us, and yet it's still so different that it's very fascinating. Do you find that there's a lot more research available on that time period, you know, now as opposed to when you started writing?
That's a good question. I think it's always been out there. It's becoming more and more accessible. When I started in the business 20 years ago, the internet was still a relatively new thing. I think when I started writing, I still had dial-up internet. So that made researching the historical time period much more difficult. I had to find books that were on that time period. So that was a little bit more challenging, where now so much of this, even the books that I'm trying to look up, are on the internet, and that makes my research a lot easier. So I think it was always out there, but it's just so much more accessible nowadays.
So what do you find is the most rewarding part to you about writing romantic suspense? And you write historical romantic suspense, so I'll say that.
I always try to infuse my stories with a sense of hope. So even though some of them are quite dark and they really are very, I don't want to say scary, but kind of, yeah, just dark and maybe not the most uplifting of all plot lines that you could have, I always try to infuse a sense of hope that even when these bad things are happening to the characters, when there's somebody after them or people are being murdered or whatever it happens to be in that particular book, that there is some kind of hope for some kind of triumph in the end, that the hero and the heroine at least will overcome and that they will have their happy ever after ending. And so I think that is the most rewarding part, is that I try to put that sense of hope in every book so that it's not too dark and not too heavy.
I love that because, you know, as Christian writers, you know, we have that hope. And our characters, who are believers, should embody that, even going through difficult times. And I think it's one of the privileges I think I enjoy so much as a romantic suspense writer is to show that, you know, our faith does permeate every aspect of our life. And even if we're terrified, you know, God is still there. And how those characters work through that, you know, to show that hope. Because I think we live in a world where hope is in short supply sometimes.
It certainly is. Especially, it seems, in these days, so many people feel so hopeless and so helpless. And that's why I do what I do very intentionally. So that, like you said, to show that even in the most terrifying circumstances, and let's face it, all of us have been afraid of things, maybe not things that go bump in the night, but we have plenty that we're afraid of in our lives. And we're never truly alone in that. God has promised that he's going to walk through the fire with us. So no matter what happens, he's always going to be there. And then he promises that he works everything out to our good. And so there's that hope that I do bring to the stories and that I hope the readers will pick up on and will be uplifted by it, so that even a romantic suspense can be an uplifting book when it's written from a Christian perspective, I believe.
No, I totally agree with you. So what do you wish readers knew about the romantic suspense genre? Is there something that you wish you could tell readers about the genre, whether it's historical or contemporary? It's still the same plot. They fall in love while running from danger. In some sort.
Right. That's very true. It isn't so much different from romance, except that there is the suspenseful part of it. So it makes your heart beat a little bit faster, perhaps. But there's that same plot line. So whether you like romance, you're going to find that in a romantic suspense, you'll still have that. Or if you like suspense, you'll get a little bit of a heart pounding going too. And I did not used to read much romantic suspense myself. I started a few years ago reading a lot of romantic suspense and really finding that I surprisingly enjoyed the genre much more than I thought that I would. I thought I'd be far too scared to read anything like that. But I found it to be an awful lot of fun to read. It really captures your attention and holds your attention if it's well written and keeps you turning the pages. So if you want a really good page turner, then I think romantic suspense might be for you. And it's not as scary as some people think that it might be. There's not a lot, especially in my books, I can speak for them only. There is not blood and gore on the pages. It's maybe hinted at, but it's not there. It's more the characters are in danger and they're running from that danger, trying to get away from it. So that's really what romantic suspense is.
Yeah, and I think that that's a good distinction because most romantic suspense, they can be heart pounding, but they're generally not as I guess there's thrillers and then there's suspense, straight suspense. So if you want more of that without the romance, then those are books for you. But I love the combination of the romance and the suspense because I think it really helps us, lets us have a lot of fun with our characters. Because what could be more scary than falling in love?
Right. That could be very suspenseful in and of itself.
Yeah, exactly. And there's some sort of danger and or mystery wrapped up to solve as well. So you already kind of put the characters in this situation that they're going to need a lot of help to get out of and falling in love as they do it, which is super fun. So do you have a favorite book that you've written? You've written many books. Do you have a favorite? I'm asking you to pick one of your children.
Right, you are. Oh, I hate this question, and I get it asked it so often. I would have to say I have enjoyed writing each of them for very different reasons.
Mm.
The Pink Bonnet, which was the first romantic suspense that I wrote, was very close to my heart because it dealt with adoption, and all three of them have come to us through international adoption. So that was a subject that was particularly close to my heart. I enjoyed writing The Green Dress. There was a lot of research that went into that, which is always a lot of fun. The Gold Digger was just really heart-pounding, and I enjoyed writing that one. And with The Silver Shadow, which is the one that's coming out on May 1st, that one was the hardest, I think, for me to write because it didn't have a lot of research material for me. I should have known I was in trouble when I found the idea for this book in a book called 10 Crimes the World Has Forgotten. And the reason that the world has forgotten about it is because they were probably never very well known to begin with. And so even digging up newspaper articles about these crimes was very, very difficult. But I found myself then able to have a little bit more creative license with this one. So I was able to let my imagination go a little bit because I didn't have to stick so closely to the historical facts because they just weren't out there. So if a reader says, oh, I want to know more about this story, they're not going to go and find out all my mistakes because there's just not an awful lot to find out about these crimes.
So actually, that was like the perfect story for you to pick. This is what you're telling me. Because you can
right,
have that.
It was.
you can get the period piece right. You can get some of the fact. But you're like, well, I think maybe this happened. Nobody can contradict me because everyone's dead who could contradict me, right? When you write a story,
exactly.
you have that privilege. Okay, so listeners out there, The Silver Shadow, read it, but that's about all there is on it. So,
right. I may be the world's foremost expert on this crime now because I've read everything there is to read about it.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny. Well, you know, at least you know that you've sought everything out, and what you didn't know, you could probably legitimately make it up.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're right. That's like the best story to write. So I think that's pretty fun. So we have time for one more question, and I'm going to ask you, let's see, what is absolutely essential for you to write? Do you need a quiet space? Do you need a certain kind of music? Your husband waiting on you hand and foot with chocolate and coffee? Well, what do you need to write?
Well, I like the last one about my husband
waiting
on me hand and foot with the chocolate. You know, a little bit of a foot rub or a shoulder rub while I'm writing would be fabulous.
Yeah.
But in reality, that's never going to happen. I write with music or any noise. The house has to be very, very quiet. In fact, I recently started getting up at 5:30 in the morning to do my writing because the house is dark. There's nobody up. My email isn't going crazy. Nobody's trying to text me. And I found that to be my most productive time. And my husband's in the process of building me an office in the basement. And I found a really comfy chair secondhand. He built me a desk. It's custom made, so it's just right for me. It's the size I want it, the height I want it. It's perfect, and I love going down there. It's my sanctuary away from everybody and everything, and that's where I spend my days, and I just sit there and write.
Yes, I'm with you. I get up early now, too, to write because the house is quiet, and nobody needs me yet.
Right. There's nobody up at that time to bother me.
No. And my office is in our basement, but our basement is not quite like the basement of my parents' house, which was a scary place to be. And no one ever wanted an office down there. So I like it because it doesn't have any windows. So I don't get distracted by the outside world, which is a plus. So, well, I could talk more, but we are out of time. So thank you so much for being on my show today, Liz.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This has been an awful lot of fun, and I certainly have enjoyed myself.
You have been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hammerker, and I've been talking with Liz Tolsma. She's the author of several romantic suspense novels, World War II novels. Oh, you can read all about her on our website. But stay tuned for an excerpt from her latest romantic suspense, The Silver Shadow.
Now an excerpt from The Silver Shadow by Liz Tolsma. Friday, August 24th, 1900.
What is this?
Balding Joe Ward, his light-colored hair curling over his ears, smacked his copy of the Denver Post against his desk. A whiff of newsprint filled the city editor's office. A headache started at the base of Polly Blythe's neck and stretched up and over until her temples throbbed. The click-clack of typewriters behind her as her fellow reporters wrote their newspaper stories didn't help at all. My article?
Yes, your article.
The middle-aged Mr. Ward came to his feet and stared down at Polly. She hunched over. Is there something wrong?
Wrong? You're asking what's wrong? Everything.
He drew out the last word. What do you mean by everything?
It's facts. Nothing but the facts.
Well, I mean, Mrs. Pettigrew sent me the information about her daughter, so I wrote my article about her engagement from that. Mr. Ward slapped his wide forehead.
Mrs. Pettigrew is as dull as they come. Your article matches the woman well. But there are rumors about the haste of the wedding. You should have included that. We want sensational, attention-grabbing articles that will leave the entire city buzzing.
He gestured wide, almost knocking over his coffee cup.
We want people to have to buy the Post to find out all there is to find out. Mr. Tammin and Mr. Bonfils will not be pleased with this, not at all.
Under the weight of Mr. Ward's glare, Polly sagged. Did you want me to lie about Miss Pettigrew?
There's a difference between lying and embellishing. Learning to walk that line is what makes or breaks a reporter. That's why I don't hire anyone who hasn't completed school or who hasn't worked for a publication before.
If only Pa had let her further her education. But her family needed money. She'd had to get a job. Her brother Lyle got to finish college because Pa said education was wasted on women, but not on men. She'd worked hard to move from cleaning the newspaper offices to writing for the Post. All Mr. Ward could see was that cleaning girl.
Please, sir, I'm so sorry. It will never happen again, I promise. From now on, you'll have the most sensational stories ever. You won't be disappointed in me. I'll do my job, and I'll do it well. Just don't sack me.
Mr. Ward stroked his prominent, clean-shaven chin.
By rights, I should let you go, or at least reduce you to a cleaning position again.
He raked his gaze from her head to her feet and back.
Still, you're a nice addition to the staff.
She cringed. Had he hired her because he thought she was pretty? A piece to spruce up the office?
I'll give you another chance. One more. Take this as your warning. Another mistake like that, and you'll find yourself on the street. Do you understand? Now get out of here. It's well after 8 on a Friday night, and I just want to go home.
He'd made his point crystal clear. She gave a single nod, turned on her heel, and returned to her little corner of the office. She stared at the sheet in the roller of her typewriter, the paper table proudly pronouncing it to be a Remington. A sigh escaped her lips. Another Denver society piece. How many stories could she write about wealthy young women's engagements to the most eligible bachelors in the city? How many stories about weddings and comings out? How could she possibly make them exciting and titillating enough for Mr. Ward? Mr. Ward lumbered past, leering at her as he went by. She shivered. Well, the article wouldn't write itself. Until it was completed and turned in, she couldn't go home. She typed a sentence. Gracious, that was awful. Even she agreed it was as dull as dirty dishwater. She ripped the paper from the typewriter, crumpled it, and tossed it into the metal trash can. Who cared about Virginia Pettigrew? There was nothing fun or fascinating about her at all. The only reason to write these pieces was because the prominent people they featured wanted to be read about themselves. If only Polly could get this done, she could go home for the day. Already she'd missed her supper at her boarding house. A commotion rippled through the newsroom, a buzz that moved from the front and found its way to Polly. Something about a mugging. Two women. Much more interesting than Virginia Pettigrew. Polly turned in her chair and leaned toward the desk beside her, occupied by Harry Gray, who had just returned from a dinner break. He glanced at her, his fingers flying over his typewriter keys. She kept her voice low. What's going on? Some kind of big story? Harry turned his skinny lips into a frown, his dark mustache also dipping, and shook his head.
A woman cracked over the head. Nothing new. She was crazy to be out by herself at this hour. A woman in Denver in this day and age should always have an escort. Colorado gives you the right to vote, and now you think you can waltz the streets alone at any hour. I'll bang out a little piece about it before I leave.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.